I think it's not possible to analyze this question of democracy without understanding the social compact that lies behind it. And the social compact, very simply put, is people come together, they select who their leader would be by elections, and the assumption behind that, of course, is free and fair elections. And the quid pro quo on the other side must surely be that the leaders who get selected have an obligation, a duty even, to say how I'm going to uplift lives, build society, and improve upon the previous generation. And I think that compact lies at the heart of what I believe is the democratic process. And despite what you say about having 3.7 billion people go to the polls last year, and you know,
year before last, 24.
Two-thirds of the world is governed by democracies. So I think there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the system. But what I do think has gone wrong, and which has put it under pressure, is, number one, I think there is a failure of delivery in several ways. One, in some cases, there's an abuse of power. And you see governments elected through unfair means remain in power, build up, and then abuse the position. I think that has caused many citizens, not wrongly, to be cynical about the process. And then there's also a failure in terms of how we carry out and discharge the obligation to improve society, improve lives, build upon previous generations. And if truth be told, today I think it's also under threat through a number of different ways. Trust in institutions, something you alluded to earlier, has eroded. You look at misinformation. We've not had misinformation to this extent in previous generations. And you just look at the number of elections that have been undermined by false information. So all of these factors and forces, I think, are buffeting the process of democracy. So to your point directly, are we stuck in old premises, old framework, old routines? I think the answer is yes and no. I mean, we embrace the old structures because they have worked for generations. But what is required to be done within this framework is, I take a leave out of Helene's point earlier, a stronger degree of collaboration with citizens, even after the government has come to power. Early on, I think you mentioned citizen assemblies. In Singapore, we have what we call citizen juries, and we have a youth forum for young people to express their views. And we made a commitment some time ago when I was a culture minister, I was also the youth minister. We made a commitment that youth voices must be heard, because having no experience today is not necessarily a liability. It's just a different perspective. And we made a commitment that youth voices, when they're heard, will be presented as well at the highest forum, including in Parliament, so that there is a degree of engagement and we feel that citizens are able to say, I'm invested in the outcome of policies. I have a say in the architecture of social policies that affect me. And ultimately, the balance and the bargain in Singapore is, if the government of the day is not performing, if there are failures of delivery on the ground, as I've mentioned, then the process must come to roost in the elections. And we must have and must guard carefully free and fair elections, because that's the process which I believe keeps the democratic system running. That's the heartbeat. As a small country, small nation, we've had one party rule Singapore since independence. In some ways, we've got the ability to move very nimbly and very deftly. And I'll give you one example. In the immediate aftermath of COVID, we realized that there were many obligations, financial, contractual obligations, that would come under pressure because we had social distancing measures. Between the time we decided that we needed to do something about that to not have an avalanche of litigation cases and breaches of contract, we decided on legislation. We moved, we consulted, and we passed it, and we made it effective in 9 days. Now, that's not to say that, you know, it ought to be done like this every time. But I believe that we have an obligation as a government to respond, to evolve our thinking through consultation, because citizens, users of the system, business people, they have a different perspective sometimes. And that's something that we need to take into account. So to be able to move nimbly, quickly, evolving with times and able to address specific concerns on the ground is, I believe, a sharp obligation of the government. And it's one that we, from time to time, we look at ourselves and we say, Can we move faster on something? I think democracy is not about voting every last issue. And certainly when you choose a government, it is not about then wanting to micromanage every last decision. And I think if you have to put every last decision you make to a vote, you are abdicating your responsibility. The government has been chosen to take responsibility and make decisions on behalf of its people. As I said at the start, the quid pro quo being that you must advance society. You must show societal uplifting, social mobility, for example. So I don't believe in every last decision being micromanaged. But I also want to make a point, partly in response to what I've heard earlier in the discussion. I know there are a lot of failures with democracy, and I think moderator has outlined several publications. But let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater as well, because the process is, at its heart, a genuine process that's designed to throw up persons who the majority of the population believe it ought to be leader of. And there's nothing wrong fundamentally with that. What I said earlier was there are difficulties, though, with the process. Elections, are they free, fair, misinformation, so on. But I think fundamentally, let's not conflate the issues. Even your example that you gave on Taiwan, ultimately this person came forward and was put in that ministry through elections. So let's not take umbrage at all forms of democracy. But let's work out what precisely are the ailments that causes today's democratic process to fail and try and fix those.
Not every issue has to be seen divided on political lines. I think earlier on, a moderator mentioned that Singapore is practical. I think you used the word technocratic.
Technocratic, yes.
But I would like to think that we are more practical and we are driving towards a solution to a problem. And the solution sometimes can be multifaceted and can come from different sources. And a responsible and a productive government ought to be able to accept all of these different sources. So I wouldn't define solutions on political lines necessarily. But the point really is, at the end of the day, I agree with your proposition that we also have to have a conversation on the how. Because in as much as we want to know where we're going, I think it's important that between government and its people to have an open mandate and to understand where that mandate is going, there must also be a discussion on how, because in every decision, there are always trade-offs. And in understanding how to go forward, we must understand that there are always trade-offs which might affect some other parts of the population. So that discussion, that openness with information, is quite an important process in the entire democratic system.